This is Pastor Buckley is actually, this is his last day of sabbatical. And Robin and I were talking earlier that everybody should probably call him tomorrow and set up an appointment to meet with him to see how he's doing. And I was thinking some of you late night people, like at 12:01 a.m., might be a good time to make that phone call. We sure do miss him and are anxious for him to be back and his family. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. God is good. God is really good. And that's what we say as Christians, right? God is good. God is a good God. In our scripture reading earlier in 2 Timothy, the ESV in chapter verse 12 said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." King James puts it this way, "Yeah, and all that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." This is one of those truths that you can cut right out of the Bible and paste on the wall and it stands on its own. If you are in Christ, and if you desire to live a godly life in Christ, you will be persecuted. Well, there's some motivation for us, huh? If I'm in Christ and I desire to lead a godly life, I will suffer. Notice the two parts of that, though, brothers and sisters. If I'm in Christ, and yes, I am, and if I do pursue a godly life, I will be persecuted and suffer. Does that reality hold us back from pursuing a godly life? Do we say, yes, I'm a Christian and I want to walk with Jesus, but I draw a line when it comes to suffering? Look at Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. This should be very familiar to all of you. We've been in here. This is the word of God. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Jesus tells Peter and all of the disciples, "I am going to suffer, and I am going to die." And Peter began to rebuke Jesus, "Lord, be far from you that you would suffer. Far from you that you would die. This will never happen to you." Jesus' reply was harsh and direct. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God. You are setting your mind on the things of man." Well then, what are the things of God? What is a mind set on God? And that's where we pick it up in verse 24. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Let me tell you this, on the authority of the word of God, if you are a child of the living God, he has called you, he has ordained you, and he has willed for you to suffer. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Are you willing to deny yourself and forsake everything to follow Jesus? Are you willing to take up your cross daily and endure everything to follow Jesus? Are you willing to endure trials and temptations? Are you willing to endure persecution to die for the name of Christ? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Let's pray together. Father, this is a truth that is spiritually discerned. Father, there is no words of wisdom I could offer. It is going to be through your word and through the power of your spirit that we see the reality of this truth. And I pray for that, Father. I pray that your word comes alive in our hearts through your spirit today. May this truth and this reality become our mindset and our way of life. I pray this in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to look at taking up our cross daily. This is message number 8 in our series on abiding in the reality of Christ, and the title today is Our God of Comfort. God commands us, and Jesus leads us to what I believe to be the hardest truth to believe and live. But listen now, brothers and sisters, if we want more of Christ and less of ourselves, or as Brother Dan put it, if we want only Christ and none of ourselves, then we must endure suffering with him. The truth of suffering, as we'll see, is that we should be embracing suffering. I did not misspeak there. Peter says it is a gracious thing. James says to count it all joy. And Paul says, rejoice in our sufferings. And while God's word tells us to endure suffering, the world screams out to avoid it. The world screams out to run from it. But just like the truth of denying ourselves is 180 degrees from what the world teaches, so is the truth about suffering. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We talked about being in the vine of God. We've looked at the roots of the vine being faith in Christ and Christ alone. And we looked at the sprouts, the beginning sprouts, as our relationship with God, as his righteous children. And now we need to be growing in the vine, and we need to start reaching out as branches. And not only branches, but branches that bear fruit for God. If we are going to bear fruit for God, we must deny ourselves. If we are going to bear fruit for God, we must take up our crosses daily. Thursday was a beautiful day outside. As I was in the study, I decided to move outside. So I gathered up all my stuff, and that's no small task, and I had all my hands full. And as I walked upstairs and I passed the counter and my iPod was sitting there, I decided to grab that because I have Logos Bible Study on there. And I went to put it in my T-shirt pocket. And I realized I had my T-shirt on inside out. So I put down all of my things and I turned my shirt right side out, and then I had access to the pocket. Brothers and sisters, we need the reality of suffering right side out so we have access to the pocket of truth. Suffering is not a negative. It is a blessing and a gift from God. Just as by grace, through faith, we are saved, and it is a gift of God. Just as by grace, through faith, we walk with Christ, and that is a gift from God, so too we endure suffering by grace, through faith. And suffering, get this now, is also a gift of God. If we want to bear fruit in the vine of God, we need to have our mind set on the things of God and not on man. If we are to bear fruit in the vine of God, we need to turn this truth right side out and discover the blessing in the pocket. Now, I've spent 25% of my time setting this up. We should probably get started. I thought that last week, narrowing down, denying ourselves was hard. I had nothing on this. I can't possibly do this justice in one message. So I had to enact the KISS protocol. keep it simple, silly. And then Kes, keep it even simpler. I want to focus on the blessing of suffering. Suffering is a blessing because we experience Jesus in it. We share in suffering with Christ. Get that, with Him. We need to be mindful of God, and we need to look to Him. We experience Christ because we share in His suffering. Point number one, we suffer with Christ to be glorified with Him. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Just like last week when we looked at, and if you missed it, I'm sorry, these things build on themselves, but just like last week, we looked at our mindset has to be on God, in the things of God. We must abide in the Word, and the Word of God must abide in us. Our heart must be in love with Christ. We must abide in love, and love must abide in us. These are two huge keys to our walk and should always be in front of us. Okay. We suffer with Christ to be glorified with Christ. Romans chapter 8, this should start sounding familiar also. Starting in verse 12, this is the word of God. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this pleasant present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We are heirs. We are children of God, so we are heirs with Christ. As such, we suffer with Him to be glorified with Him. And here is the key to all of this. Notice the mindset on God. Verse 18, look at it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I consider. This is a mindset on God. We share in His sufferings to share in His glory. I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing to the glory to be revealed. A mind set on the hope of glory brings a heart of peace during trials. How? Because a mind set on the hope of glory is how we endure suffering. And this allows suffering to purify us. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Suffering purifies us. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This is the word of God. See what kind of love, behold what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. back in Rome, and Paul says, I consider the present suffering not worth comparing to the future glory, knowing and believing that we will be like Jesus, knowing and believing that we will be with him forever. Having our mindset on the hope of the glory of God is what we look to when we're suffering. It is what purifies us. Which brings us to point number two. Number one is we suffer with Christ to be glorified with him. Number two is we suffer with Christ to share in his holiness. Setting our minds on the hope of glory purifies us because it enables us to endure through suffering. How does this work? There is a process going on in us. We looked at that in a previous message when we looked at life and godliness. There is a process. It is called sanctification. The process of being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. You can call it all different things, but it boils down to holiness. God tells us to be holy as he is holy. We suffer with Christ to share in his holiness. Suffering to grow. Suffering to grow more like him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Do you remember the message on the reality of relationship? I challenged us. Do we know and believe that God sees us as his children? Do we know and believe that God treats us as a father would treat his child? In Romans 12 here, we have a taste of that reality. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. We'll be pausing as we go through here. This is the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Each and every one of these passages I studied this week could have had weeks of messages in them. And I want to sidetrack here for one moment. Enduring suffering is all about faith. Believing God. Jesus is everything. He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Paul in Philippians 1:29 says this, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him but also suffer for his sake. Granted to us for the sake of Christ to believe in him and to suffer for his sake. This has been granted to you, children of God. We have been called. This is the perfect will of God that we suffer for the sake of Christ. And I love this, though. He has not granted one of these things without the other. He has granted to us belief, and he has granted to us suffering. He doesn't give us one without the other. We're not going to go there, but Peter tells us that this is how suffering tests our faith. Is it genuine faith that we have? If we are suffering because God has granted it to us, then we have the faith to endure also because God has granted us that as well. The genuine faith to endure because granted it was granted by God. That's a whole different message. Just remember this. To endure suffering, it takes faith. Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of your faith. If we are in Christ, it is in his hands. Back to our passage in verse 3. Notice now, and this is what I really want us to see. Notice the mindset. Our mind is to be set on Christ, especially and even and always, but especially in suffering. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of the spirits and live? Watch this now. We're coming to our point. Number one, we suffer with Christ to be glorified with him. Number two, we suffer with Christ to share in his holiness. Verse 10, for they disciplined us, speaking of earthly fathers, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There's a lot here, but let's focus. Our sanctification process will not move forward. Our growth in Christ will not deepen. We will not share in Christ's holiness unless we share in his suffering. His suffering to obey. Find your way to Luke 22, verse 39. Where do we draw our line in obedience to our Lord? What is God? What is our Father calling us to do that we've drawn a line that we won't cross? Yeah, but if I talk about Jesus at work, I could lose my job. Yeah, but if I tell people that they are sinners like me and they need a Savior named Jesus Christ, I might offend them. If I tithe and give that much money to God, I could lose all of my stuff and maybe my house. Where do we draw our line? God tells us, we just read this, God tells us, consider him, mindset, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Where are you drawing your line? Consider Jesus, the Son of God, suffered and endured to obey God the Father. Luke 22, 39 through 44. This is the word of God. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus knew what was coming if he obeyed the Father. Jesus wasn't praying because he might lose his job. He wasn't praying that he might offend somebody. He wasn't praying because he might lose his house and his stuff. Jesus was praying because all of our sins were about to be placed upon him. He was praying because he was about to experience the wrath of God for us. He was praying because he was about to be tortured and crucified and killed for his enemies. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus endured suffering to learn obedience. So we must also share in his suffering to share in his holiness. Where do we draw our line? Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Remember what Jesus told Peter after breakfast? You follow me. You are going to die. The reality of the truth of Scripture, the reality of denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily, is that we must draw no lines, even unto the shedding of our blood. Number one, we suffer with Christ to be glorified with him. Number two, we suffer with Christ to share in his holiness. How does enduring suffering sanctify us? Let's look at a couple of passages to help us understand this. Turn to James chapter 1. Are you seeing the blessing yet? I said I would focus on the blessing in this message. We've seen one, that's the hope of glory. That is a huge blessing. How is suffering itself a blessing? It's time to put our shirts on the right way and see the truth of God. James 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. Let's hold up here. Okay, James, brother of Jesus, servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, what about trials and temptations? God, we want to get this right. We want the truth. God, help us. We want to transform our minds and renew ourselves. What are we to think? What are we to really, really believe about trials? Verse 2, this is the word of God. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Count it all joy that your faith is tested. Look down at verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. He will receive the crown of life. That is going back to the hope of glory. Faithfully enduring trials ultimately confirms the genuineness of our faith. And we are blessed because of the purifying that takes place. We will be like Christ, and we will be with him forever. we have Christ. That's all we need. Suffering purifies us to that belief. If you want to see more on that truth, write this down and look it up later. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It's worth the time to look that up and meditate on it. And actually read all of 1 Peter if you want more on suffering. And if you want to get your shirts on the right way, 1 Peter is a good place to meditate on suffering. Let's look at Paul has to say about this process. Turn to Romans 5. In suffering, we are being sanctified. In suffering, we are being purified. We share in suffering with Christ to share in his holiness. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory. Yes, we've looked at all of these things. We've rejoiced in the hope of glory. But what about suffering? Verse 3. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul rejoices in sufferings. Are you kidding me? I didn't even have my shirt inside out. I don't think I had it on at all. Count it all joy. Rejoice in sufferings. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't make this up. This is the word of God. This is to be our mindset. Our mind is to be set on God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 tells us to be mindful of God during suffering. This is to be our conscious. We are to be conscious of God during our trials and during our persecutions. We are to have our mind full of God during temptations. Have our minds set on God. Look at the mindset Paul has on God here. Look at verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. What's the next word? Knowing. What's the next word? Knowing. Knowing. I know this. We rejoice in our sufferings because I know this. What? What? Look at it. Verse 3. Knowing that suffering, what? Produces. Knowing that suffering produces. Suffering is productive. I know this. Suffering produces. Now the result of this production must be something special, right? Paul says, rejoice in suffering, knowing this, that it produces something. It must be special. So what is it? Let's read the whole thing. Verse 3. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Okay, here's the process. Suffering, affliction, distress, tribulation. That word means all of those things. Suffering produces endurance or patience. The same word that James used was translated steadfastness. So suffering produces endurance, which then produces character, or experience to gain character. Then ultimately, suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. You got that now? When we suffer, we put our mind and our focus on God. And we know He is at work in us. We know this when we have our mind set on God. He is working in us, so we endure it. We endure it, and we gain patience and character through that. We experience Christ in that, which produces hope. Not worldly hope, so hope. If we've been with God, I know so hope. Okay? When we experience Christ, when we're enduring with Christ, we're with Him, and it's building up our character, and we come to hope because I've been with Christ. He's gotten me through this. I have the hope of Christ. It's a hope that is real, brothers and sisters. Look at verse 6. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We've been over this. This is the mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We know that God is in us because God is in us. Our hope is not in some distant, foggy place. Our hope does not put us to shame. We have Christ. And we know it because of the love that He's poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Do you have the love of Christ in you? Then cling to that. That's all you need. Is Christ. You don't need to understand the inner workings of this process. James says this, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you would be perfect and complete and lack nothing. We are blessed through suffering. Now get this, we are blessed through suffering, because it brings us more and more to the understanding and belief that Christ is everything. In Christ, we are perfect. In Christ, we are complete. And in Christ, we lack nothing. We have Christ, and that's all we need. Suffering purifies us to belief in that truth. Number one, we suffer with Christ to be glorified with Him. Number two, we suffer with Christ to share in His holiness. Now number three, we suffer with Christ to share in His comfort. This will be the last one and then we'll be done. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The thrust of this passage is where the title of the message came. God is a God of comfort. But there is also a reality in here about suffering that'll help us understand this process that's going on in us a little bit better. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. This is the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So then there is the third truth and the amazing blessing. We share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. So through Christ, we share abundantly in his comfort. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge doesn't only come from words on a page, but by experience also. Last week I tried to state a truth and I stumbled over it twice and I never got it out right. So I want to restate it now and I'm just going to read it this time. Maybe I'll get it right. God died for us. When the reality of the depth of that revealed love hits you, when you start experiencing that, then our heart will be here, abiding in the love of Christ. I don't believe there is any other way to get there than to understand and experience God's love for us. And so it is with comfort. We cannot know the comfort of Christ without sharing and experiencing the suffering of Christ. Let's finish our passage and we'll be done. Verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You can tell that Paul was a thinking man. A thinking man with his mind set on God. A thinking man with a mind full of God. A thinking man with a conscience for God. Look back at the second half of verse 8 and see what a man abiding in the word of Christ looks like. Second half of verse 8. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Let's pause here. Utterly burdened beyond our strength. We felt like we received a death sentence. How many times do we say, and do we hear, yeah, but I feel bad. Yeah, but I feel scared. Yeah, but I feel hurt. Paul says, we felt like we were going to die. Watch now as Paul turns feelings into a godly mindset in the middle of verse 9. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Suffering makes us rely on God. Verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will deliver us again. This is how experience gives us a deeper faith and hope. We felt like we were going to die, so we had to rely on Him. And He delivered us from this deadly peril. And if He delivered us once, He will deliver us again. Our hope is set on Him because He's done it once, and He'll do it again. This is how our faith builds, brothers and sisters, when our mind is set on God. I can't say that I've ever spent more time on a message. I can't say that I've ever spent more time trying to bring it into focus that would be edifying and encouraging and powerful. And I fear it was none of those. I longed for you to be moved as I was moved this week when I was studying all this, but there was just too much. And I am sorry. But by the grace of God, it is what it is. If you take nothing else from here today, from this time we've had together, remember this. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We cannot grow to the depth of the knowledge intended for us unless we know the suffering of Christ. In our walk with God, we focus on our relationship with Him and not religion. Our God is personal. Our God loves us. Our Father wants us to experience all that we have in Christ. We can't possibly even scratch the surface of the depths of the riches we have in Christ without embracing, believing, and living the truth of suffering for His sake. Brothers and sisters, suffering is a way to experience God at a depth that we never imagined. It is a gift of God. I implore you in the name of Christ to abide in the reality of Christ, to suffer with Christ, and to endure with Christ and experience the comfort and the peace of our God. Let's pray together. Father, I lay it out there. I'm inadequate to even scratch the surface of these truths, Father. So we rely on You. We rely on Your Spirit and the power of Your Word to touch our hearts, to change us. Oh, Father, how I pray that You grant us the blessing of knowing You deeper through suffering. May our minds be set on You always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.